to worship Jesus as a young child, and so that'll be the focus of our service this morning. We'll follow the order that's listed in our bulletin using Divine Service Setting 3 on page 184 in your hymnal, page 184. Before we begin our worship service, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, we come from so many different backgrounds and places in the world, and yet in your Son, Jesus Christ, we are united as one church. Help us to recognize that church and to rejoice at being a part of her, knowing that through your Son, we have eternal life with you in your kingdom. In your holy, precious name we pray. Amen. Sing our opening hymn, hymn number 396, Arise and Shine in Splendor, hymn 396.
Thank you.
service setting 3, page 184. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this den, by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This time we turn to the introit as it is printed in our bulletin insert. We sing it together.
Thank you.
you. Let us pray. O God, by the leading of a star you made known your only begotten Son to the Gentiles, lead us who know you by faith to enjoy in heaven the fullness of your divine presence. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for the Epiphany of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They are all gathered together. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join together in speaking the gradual appointed for today. Those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news and praises of the Lord. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you, Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia and verse. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Behold, wise men came from the east, coming to Jerusalem and saying, Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him. And after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of our Lord. Now we confess our one faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, number 397.
grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from both the Gospel and the Epistle lessons, especially these words from St. Paul. To me was given this grace, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring a light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God. Thus far, our text. Dear Christians, this morning we move out of the Christmas season and into the season of Epiphany. The word Epiphany means to make manifest or to reveal amongst us. And to begin with, the thing that's being revealed to us is the answer to this question. Is Jesus for you? Is he for you? Has he come for you who live here in Lincoln, Nebraska, 8,000 miles away from Bethlehem, 2,020 years after his birth? Is Jesus for you? At the time of his birth in Bethlehem, the Roman civilization was beginning to reach its zenith, controlling the entire Mediterranean basin, reaching from Spain and France all the way to Egypt, from Mauritania to Turkey. Approximately one quarter of the human population lived within its borders. The time of the birth of Jesus, Jewish building projects and engineering had also reached their peak. They had built some of the most amazing stone structures ever built. They had done it without cranes or jackhammers or any other sort of power tool. They had moved the second largest stone ever moved by humanity. A rock that was 44 feet long, 10 feet tall, and 8 feet thick. They put it right on the street level, with the wall continuing up for dozens more feet. The Jewish culture was strong. The Roman culture was strong. Both of them had tremendous written histories and literature, medicine, government, a tax system. They had plumbing, baths, clean water, and roads that connected all the cities. That's the people that Jesus was born to live amongst. And at the same time, these two civilizations were there at their zenith, in that form, my ancestors, whoever they were probably barbarians, running around in the woods of Germany, Ireland, and Sweden, with their faces painted blue, just scraping by day by day. Which people did Jesus come from? I don't want to belabor the point. I don't want to put down my ancestors or perhaps even yours. But the reality is my ancestors were not in a position to know about the birth of Christ. They were Gentiles. And not only Gentiles, they were Gentiles who were barbarian Gentiles, who lived away from civilization. They didn't know about the Bible, the Old Testament. What claim could my Swedish ancestors have to salvation from Jesus? Or my Irish ancestors, who lived on an island just a few miles away from the Roman Empire, but still were outside its borders. They did not descend from Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. They did not even know about these patriarchs. But instead, they had moved away from that promise long ago at the time of the Tower of Babel. What difference would Jesus make for them? And would his life, his death, and his resurrection be able to count for them? Or did Jesus just come for the Jews? For God's chosen people? For those within the confines of the Jewish state? In other words, does Jesus count for me? And you can ask the same question, perhaps, about you. Being mostly a body that's made up of Germans, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is almost entirely descended from those northern barbarians. Can Christ count? Is his forgiveness good enough? It's with that question in mind that we can ask about those magi on that first Epiphany. The magi, or as we commonly refer to them, the wise men, were not Jews either. And they weren't from the Roman Empire. They didn't worship the same God as the Jews or the Romans. They were Gentiles from the East, the Parthian Empire. An empire that was almost always at war with Rome. Can Jesus count for them? Can they be forgiven? Can they have faith? Our gospel lesson tells us that they come to find Jesus. They had heard God's word, they had seen the star, and so they come to find Jesus. Believe it or not, yes, they had heard God's word. Some 580 years before the birth of Jesus, the forefathers of the Parthians, the Babylonians, had razed Jerusalem to the ground under King Nebuchadnezzar. They had led the remaining Judahites out of Israel into exile. Some of the exiles, like faithful Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remained faithful to God even in a foreign land. They preached the truth. They spoke about God. They did not deny, but they confessed who the true God was. They very likely brought copies of God's word with them into exile, including these words from Numbers 24. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Those words were passed on generation after generation among some who lived in the East. until the day that Christ was born. They see the star coming out of Jacob. They know God's word that a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And so they go looking for a king. It is God's word that drives them to Bethlehem to find Herod. They ask about the birth of the king. And Herod does not know God's word. He finds scribes to look up where the Messiah is to be born. And God's word again directs them. In Bethlehem of Ephrathah, that's where the Savior shall be. And in fact, that is where the Magi find Jesus. And so it is in our gospel lesson that foreigners from outside the Jewish nation, from outside the Roman Empire, are among some of the very first to see, to worship, and believe in Jesus. God's word can work great miracles. God's word can make barbarians and Parthians and Magi Christians. So back to you, dear friends. Is Jesus for you? You, like me, are likely not descended from Jacob or Abraham, but from foreign peoples of old. Will Christ welcome us? Will Christ receive us? Will he bring us unto himself? Will he overlook our heritage, our sin, our guilt, our unusual customs and mannerisms? Will he welcome us into his family? Yes. Paul answers that question in our epistle lesson. He says that the Gentiles are fellow heirs. We talked about that last week. Members of the same body, partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Through God's words. In other words, the gospel is for all the world, for all people, no matter where they are from or where they go, no matter what kind of a person they are, whether they are rich, whether they are poor, whether they are a Swedish barbarian or an Irish barbarian, whether they are black or white or brown or anywhere in between. Jesus is for you and for all people. John's gospel teaches this. Jesus has died for all. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The world. St. John the Baptist points at Christ and says, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. For all the people of the world. There is not one person for whom Christ has not paid the price for sin. Not one. He's even for you. We could look at the bigger picture and talk about Christ dying for the whole world, for Jews, for Gentiles, for barbarians, and even Nebraskans. But we must allow our name to be on that list. We must hear the salvation is for us because it is. Yes, you've sinned. Yes, you've done wrong. Christ still forgives you. He went to the cross for you. He was beaten for you. He bled for you. He died for you. And he rose again for you. You are free from sin. You have the promise of eternal life in Christ's name. And in the waters of holy baptism, God has adopted you into his holy, precious family. You are his child, and you always shall be. It doesn't matter what your background is, your ethnicity, your financial status. He died for you in the same way he died for all. And now, you're free. Free to live a life apart from sin, guilt, and shame. To no longer be slave to the whims and desires of this world. You're free to live a life without worrying about ethnicity, about identity, but instead to just trust in Christ, knowing he takes care of the big things. You're free to worship Jesus without fear, alongside the Magi, the Romans, and the Jews who came to faith. You're free to allow your only identifier to be this: forgiven Christian, and to live in such a way that your actions reflect it. Is Jesus for you? Yes. Jesus is for all. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time we stand and sing together the words of the offertory. This time we ask you to participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. Visitors, if you would write down your mailing address so that we can acknowledge your presence with us this morning, we appreciate that. This time also we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
Let us stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God and for all people according to their needs. As once the Magi of old came to adore the infant Savior and to bring Him the worship of their hearts, hands, and gifts, so do we come this day giving thanks for Your mercy and rejoicing in Your promise kept. Bring the light of Your word to all who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You have established Your church and drawn into her people from every race, tribe, and people. Bless all those entrusted with the leadership of the church and give to all pastors and missionaries the boldness of Your Spirit, that they may proclaim the saving truth of Your word without fear. Bless those who hear, that they may be brought to the faith. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bring an end to all threats of violence and rise up for all peoples leaders who will act with integrity, pursue justice, and follow Your commands. Grant to all people the blessing of food, shelter, medical care, and safety in their homes, and bless those whose duty it is to protect and defend them. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give to all people the comfort of Your presence, healing according to Your will, relief of their suffering, and an end to all the terrors of mind and heart, especially those for whom our prayers have been requested today, for Matthew, for Elias, for Alan Kim, Harlan, Laverne, Mark, Dan, Jane, Emma, Deb, Jeanette, Barb, Jerrica, Walter, Kylan, Megan, Joe, Irma, Shirley, Dennis, Jared, Louise, Bryn, Lucas, Victor, and for all others we now name in our hearts. Sustain the weary with Your word, the wounded with hope, and the dying with peace. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Mindful of Your plan of the mystery hidden for the ages and revealed in Christ, we come together in this place as one people by baptism and set apart to live out our common vocation of worship, witness, intercession, and mercy work. Bless the gifts we bring as You once honored the Magi by accepting gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
With the faithful of every time and place, we give You thanks and praise. Through their example, we are encouraged to fight the good fight of faith. Through the apostles, prophets, and all the saints, You have displayed Your saving glory for the benefit of all people. Guard us against the power of doubt and the fear, and help us endure, that we may be kept among Your sons and daughters who shall see You and be filled with the radiance of Your glory forever and ever. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You have made us all Your chosen people, members of Christ's body, co-heirs with Him and of all the riches of Your grace, including the privilege of this holy table. Here the one in faith received the true body of Christ and His true blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Bless our communion in Christ and bring peace and unity, that we may see the day when no divisions prevent us from kneeling in Your presence and receiving this blessed Eucharist, for our life and salvation and for the life and salvation of all. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
With exceedingly great joy in Your promises and with confidence that You will hear and answer Your people, we commend into Your hands ourselves and all for whom we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
To the Lord.
Let Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, Christ, our Lord, have mercy upon us. Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Please stand as we sing. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for a closing hymn, hymn 370, What Child Is This?
Thank you.
Glad to have you here with us this morning. I do want to draw your attention to the Good Shepherd news and notes. Make sure you grabbed one of those if you haven't. We're kind of getting back into the swing of things now with the Christmas season coming to its end. And so we do have a midweek service this week, along with also confirmation on Wednesday as well as starting again. So don't forget about that. We also then have on, Tuesday, a meeting for those willing to help put together the photo directory. That'll be at 6 p.m. here at the church. And then Thursday, homeschool choir begins, and Monday, homeschool orchestra begins as well. This morning, we do have two opportunities for Bible study in the parish hall, the main room over there. Vicar will be leading us in our look at the book of Romans for this morning. And so make sure you go there and heckle or listen. No, just teasing. Go there for that Bible study, the opportunity to hear God's word from the book of Romans. That'll be in the main room. And then back in the corner in room 109, we'll have our summary of Christian doctrine class continuing as well. We'll be talking about the Holy Spirit and how faith is created, so we invite you for that as well. Coming up on Sunday, February 24th, we have a KNNA fundraiser meal from 5 to 8 p.m. It should be a good time, an opportunity to help support our radio station and ministry to the community. Pastor Kirk, is there anything about that you'd like to share?
I always have something to
share. That's what I thought.
The event will be at the North Apothecary Room down at the Haymarket here in Lincoln, as Pastor said, from 5 to 8 on the 24th of February. Dinner will be catered by the eatery. Entertainment will be provided by the Janet Staley Quartet. She is class act, Las Vegas-type class act. You can play at any club there at any time. I think you will enjoy that evening. Tickets are $25. Talk to me, talk to Jim, talk to Kurt, and don't delay, because our seating is, of course, limited. KNNA always crawls, and I mean crawls, before it gets up and walks and runs. So mark your calendars and stay tuned to KNNA, because this announcement will repeat for a while, and we'd love to see you all there. Now, these are just some tidbits from yours truly, O Lovable Jack, and when music was music.
You'll also notice then, thank you, Pastor Kirk, on the back of the news and notes, information about the pecan meal, pancake feed that's coming up. There is a sign-up sheet in the back at the table there for people willing to help volunteer and all the things that need to get done, flipping pancakes, cleaning tables, things like that. Sign-up sheet is in the back at that table. Feel free to help. It's a great opportunity to help support the Pediatric Cancer Action Network, and I think also that on a radio station there'll be more information about what the Pediatric Cancer Action Network does, but basically it helps support people dealing with cancer in a child in ways that maybe they can get easily overlooked as far as financially and care for parents and siblings and even those kids that are struggling with cancer. So that event's coming up. Sign-up sheet back there. Anything I should add to that? Nope. I think we're good. There's several other things that are there in your news and notes. Take a look at that. Vicar, any other thing we should mention this morning?
I believe that this Wednesday we will have a youth group meeting for the parents of the youth concerning the upcoming Higher Things Conference at 7? 7:30? 7? Somewhere around there. Come for worship that evening, and then right after we'll have that meeting. So,
and we'll have a reminder probably sent out in the group text as well. All right. Anything else?
No.
All right. Have a great, blessed week, and we'll see you at Bible study.